Yesterday, he mentioned about Paul saying these words, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And then he said, why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation." And so one of the implications that is a part of that wasn't brought out in the lesson, but it fits the context of what we're going to be saying this morning. And that is, Paul understood that the power of the gospel wasn't in him. The power of God's word isn't in me. And I'm privileged, thankful, honored to be able to preach, to declare God's word. I don't think there is a higher calling in this world than to minister the word of God. I don't think there is. But it's not me that will touch you this morning. And we want people to be saved. We want people to be touched. But it's not us that does that work. Paul understood that. The power is in the gospel. It's not in us. It's not in man. It's not in the preacher. It's in God. So keep that in mind as we read our text. And I think that maybe we will, it'll help shed some light on what Paul, or what rather what John is doing here in chapter 12. Look at verse 44. And we'll begin our reading there in verse 44. We'll read to verse 50. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my word and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that receiveth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. For I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Jesus' message was God's message. And so the message this morning is God's message. And I think the more we understand that, the more God can touch us and move us. So let's grab a hold of the fact that the message this morning is God's message. Father, I pray your blessings on the word. Help our hearts to be opened, in tune with you. Speak to us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We popped some firecrackers yesterday. We did on Thursday, and then we burned up the rest of that stuff last night. And I will tell you that my kids need to be monitored while we're doing that. If they went unsupervised, I'm pretty sure that a torch would get thrown in the whole bag. And who knows what's going to happen after that. I give each one of the kids the ability to have up to $10 for themselves to pick out fireworks. And so they went straight to the buy one, get three free racks. And we had plenty of stuff to do for the last couple of days. But what's interesting is they all had their own bags. And they had their back sort of laying there. And then they would, one of them lit up a sparkler and was doing that sparkler right over his bag. And the sparks were falling down on the bag. I said, "You need to get away from your bag. The whole thing's going to blow up." You know, so they need to be watched. They need to be supervised. They need instructions. And just like our kids, when we leave them alone, they put themselves in a position to be harmed, needing instruction, needing to know, how to deal with basic things in life like that. Israel needed instruction from God. They needed to be put in a position to receive directions from God because they were in trouble. They needed to be saved, and Jesus had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's good news, because the same is true today. Just like Israel needed direction and they needed to be saved, we need that today. We need direction from God. We need to be instructed. We need to know what His Word says. We need to understand the good news that Christ he died to save mankind, and that was his message then, but the message is still true today. And so we can say thank you, or we can be thankful in this sense that God hasn't given up on mankind. He is still long-suffering. He is still patient with men. Peter said it like this: God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus spoke of in the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so no wonder in our text, beginning in verse 44, the Bible says, Jesus cried unto them. This is an emotional thing. This is a sensitive topic for Jesus. He's crying because he wants them to be saved. He wants them to get the message. But sadly, they weren't interested. And also, sadly, it's how it is often today. People are not all that interested in the message of the gospel. There's so many other things, especially as Americans, that we could be doing on Sundays. And by the way, that's what they're doing today. And forfeiting the gospel for something else. And I'm not talking about saved people. Shame on us if we do that. And I'm not speaking from my own spirit on that, my own attitude, my own frustrations, not at all. Shame on us if we forfeit the gospel for some other thing on God's day. But I'm not even talking about saved people. I'm talking about the lost who need to be saved, who are out there doing something else, thinking that their soul is going to be okay, thinking that they can miss church, they can miss out on the gospel, they can miss out on religion, and they're going to be okay because they have convinced themselves of this reality. It's a false reality, but they've convinced themselves that this is a reality for them. That I'll be okay because I am good enough. I'm not as bad as them, I'm not as bad as them, and we rationalize what we do and don't do religiously because we convince ourselves that we're good enough. I'm not as bad as so-and-so, I think that I'll be okay. People don't want to think about God. They don't want to think about His message. They don't want to come to church and hear things like what they're going to hear here, especially out of the book of John, which is point blank with the gospel. Jesus is constantly telling people, telling these Jews, telling the nation of Israel just what they needed to hear, not always maybe what they wanted to hear. And so people, they rationalize what they do and what they don't do religiously, thinking because they're good enough that they can miss out and they're going to be fine. These Jews, listen, the nation of Israel here, they had the law of God. And to them, that was good enough. And so really, their attitude isn't a whole lot different than the attitude of mankind today. They decided that they didn't need Christ. Look at verse 37. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. They rejected Christ. But Jesus wanted them to know that if they decided to reject Him, they're rejecting God. And that's what happens in verse 44. Look what it says. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on Me believeth not on Me, but on Him that sent Me. And he that seeth Me seeth Him that sent Me. So these Jews rejecting Jesus needed to understand that they're rejecting God. That's still true today also. And people need to understand that if they're rejecting Christ, then they are rejecting God. That means people who reject the message of the gospel are rejecting Jesus Christ, and note this, will be lost forever. And so these Jews rejected their only hope of salvation. Sadly, they would have been convinced that they believed in God. And they didn't need to believe in Jesus. I don't need the gospel. I don't need Jesus. I have God. That's what they thought. But I want you to note something. There's not two gods. They needed to know that trusting in Christ was not putting their faith in two beings, God and Jesus. Well, I have God, I don't really need Jesus. It doesn't work like that. And so they may have been confused, rejecting Jesus, thinking they had God, but that's still true today also. So that we have people who are confused today, thinking they don't need Jesus. I don't need the gospel. In fact, I want you to get this. There are entire religions that build their doctrine on their belief that Jesus isn't God. And so you have God, and then you have Jesus, who's a good man, who is a prophet of God, who did the work of God, but he's not God. They don't believe that. Religions today teach that. Jesus said that when they saw him, who did they see? Are you with me here? When they saw him, they saw the Father who sent him. So in other words, to believe in Jesus was to believe in God. This means that any religion that rejects Jesus and says, well, I worship God, are not worshiping God. Because Jesus is God. Jesus said this in John chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said this. No man comes to the Father but by me. So no man gets to the Father without going through Jesus. You know what's neat about this tonight, this morning, is that he has a message for you. We're talking about God the Father has a message for you. Jesus came as a light into the world to lead people out of darkness. He came to lead the nation of Israel out of darkness. And you need to know they were in darkness. Look at verse 46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Look at verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And so Jesus is saying, I didn't come to judge you. Meaning this, they still had time. They still could turn to Christ. He came to save them. His message was to bring them to the light and deliver them from the darkness. They still had time, but they decided not to believe. And I think sometimes what we have a tendency to do is to think that if we're not saved and we come to church and we hear the gospel and we decide not to come to the altar and humble our heart and receive the gospel, that somehow it's God's fault because he's not speaking to me. But we're deceived. The gospel message is delivered and you have time to receive it today. The hardness of our hearts is what keeps us from turning to the gospel. And so Jesus didn't come to judge in that instance. He came to save them and they still had time. But he did warn them of this reality, that one day they would be judged. One day they would be condemned in the lake of fire forever. And he warned them. He's repeating. It's like a repeat of what he said. God said in Deuteronomy 18:18 and 19, that those who would reject his word would one day be judged by the word that they rejected. And that day is yet to come. That day is coming. But it wasn't yet. And it's not yet today. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, then you still have time. If you're here and you need the gospel to transform our heart and to make us redeemed, to make us saved, to make us justified in the eyes of God, then you still have time to get it settled today. And just like the people of Israel, just like the nation of Israel here, so many today are lost and in darkness. And as we said earlier, lives are in spiritual darkness, but without a spiritual concern in this world, convincing themselves of some false security, thinking, well, you know, I'll be okay. I mean, I think I'm good enough. And so because people have convinced themselves that they're good enough and that God wouldn't take them to hell because, you know, I mean, hell's for bad people and I'm not really all that bad of a person. And they convince themselves of that false reality. And so then they have this false security and they walk around in this life and they do whatever they want to do and they continue to reject the gospel, continue to reject Jesus, thinking they have God. But they're lost and in darkness and deceived. And one day, not yet because we still have time, but one day we'll face the wrath of God, as we learn, in judgment. You know, this isn't all that exciting of a message, but yet it is the message of the gospel. And it's the message of this passage that we're preaching this morning. And so the passion that Jesus had, as the Bible said, he cried. It ought to be the passion that I have. As I cry out to the lost this morning, won't you listen to the message? Won't you let it penetrate and break your hard heart? Won't you recognize that if you were to die today, that the reality of your lost soul is separation from God for all of eternity, and there's no hope after that. It is over. The judgment is final. And you don't have to wait to be condemned. We saw in John chapter 3, verse 18, you were condemned already. All we're waiting for is the judgment that will come. One thing's for sure, people who sit through sermons like this and hear the gospel and are warned and are warned and are warned and don't repent their heart to God, one thing's for sure, you don't really know where you're going. You don't really know. You don't really realize what your destiny is. The Jews could not see their need of salvation. And because of that, they were in danger of being lost forever. In the scriptures, there's a story in Luke 16, don't turn there, of a man who was simply named this, a rich man. A certain rich man. We know it's not a parable because Lazarus is named. Parables don't have names. And so we have the rich man, a real man, and Lazarus, a real person. The Bible says that the rich man lived in his wealth. By the way, it doesn't mean that wealthy people are always lost. Doesn't mean that. But in this case, he lived in his pleasure, for his pleasure, in his wealth, and he enjoyed every penny that he owned. He lived, he enjoyed his life on this earth, enjoying his pleasure. The Bible speaks of a man who was a poor man named Lazarus, who desired to eat of the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. The Bible says that he sat as a beggar. The Bible says that the dogs licked his sores. And then he died. Was carried to heaven. But then, the rich man died. And the Bible says in the instance that he died, he was carried to hell. And then the scripture says that in hell, verse 23 of Luke 16, let me read it to you. Don't turn there. It says, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torments. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The Bible says, church, he was tormented. It means that he didn't want to be there. He wanted out. I don't want to be in this place. But it was too late. He was there. He was catwatch. He was placed in hell because of his rejection of Christ. Let me have your attention. Can I have your attention? He's still there right now. He's still there at this moment. And he'll be there forever. To be freed from darkness, these Jews would have to believe God's message to them. But if they decided not to believe his words, then they would one day be judged by the word that they had chosen to reject. Many people are on the road to destruction today. And of those many, there will be many who walk the road of destruction, who sat in churches just like this one, hearing messages just like this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then will I profess unto them, listen, I never knew you. Depart from me. That day is judgment day. And Lord, Lord, have I not done many wonderful works? Wasn't I not a good enough person? Jesus will say, I never knew you. We didn't have a relationship, and your goodness and your good works and your good deeds did nothing for you in that day. And so you're warned. Are you hearing me tonight? You're warned. That day is coming. And if you're lost, you're going to be standing there and you're going to hear God say, depart from me. And I promise you, if you attended Valley Avenue Baptist Church, you're going to say these words, Lord, Lord, have I not been a religious and spiritual and a good enough person? And God will profess unto you, I never knew you, and you are warned. You are warned right now. I just read it to you. It's going to happen. But you know what really makes this, I think I'm hopeful, makes it more touching, isn't the warning. Because you're being warned right now. You can get it settled because you still have time today. But that it's actually going to happen. Can you imagine knowing that you need to be saved and then standing before God and actually hearing Jesus Christ look at you and say these words, depart from me. We're being warned that it's going to happen, but here's the reality. One day, it's actually going to happen. Think about it. It's not going to be a warning anymore. Right now, it's a warning, but one day it won't be a warning. The Jews here, the nation of Israel here, they had rejected Christ. And because of that, they would be condemned in the last day. They would be without excuse. They knew the message. They knew the miracles. They knew their need. They had been warned. They had been warned and warned. And they knew that they needed to be saved and that in Christ was their only hope of salvation. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe the message of the man Christ Jesus. And that was their problem. They just saw him as a man. They just saw him as another man. And listen, if you're just hearing a message from another man, then we don't really need to listen. And we do that. Sometimes we hear the message of the man, the pastor. And when we're hearing the message, maybe sometimes we say things like this, Oh, you know, that's just what he thinks. We do that. You know, I understand what he's saying. But we don't really need to do that. We see it as man. Listen, sometimes we forget that the message of the man of God is God's message. The man bringing God's message, we need to understand that it's from God. If we're preaching the Bible, friends, and you're following along and we're not missing it, and we're in context and we're doing it right, you ought to be able to follow along and make that come to that conclusion, then we need to understand this isn't my message. But yet, here's what we do. You know, one thing that I do not like is debates. I just don't like to watch them because I don't like to argue with people, and I don't like to watch people argue with each other. So presidential debates, I don't really like to watch those things. But you know, that's what happens almost every Sunday, if not without fail, in the hearts of some of our people, some of us here this morning. Without fail, every single time we come into church, there's a debate happening. And the debate is sort of like this. The pastor, he gets up and he opens up the debate with his opening argument. And for like 45 minutes, unless Brother Chad's teaching, no. For like 45 minutes, here's what he does. He shares the argument, but it's his argument. And so what we're doing there is we're sitting in our pew and we're like, you know, I wonder, and so we're formulating our rebuttal, like in a debate. We're trying to decide how we're going to, you know, formulate our side of the argument. Well, that's his side of the argument, so how am I going to respond to his side of the argument? And so sometimes the pastor wins, right? So we go to the altar. All right, I can't argue with that, so let's go to the altar. Other times, we win. Well, you know, I don't know if I agree with that completely. And that doesn't really apply to me. And so our rebuttal wins, and we don't respond. Here's what we need to understand. The message from the Scriptures is not my message. So it's so easy for... It's so easy for you not to respond, you, meaning any of us, to respond to a sermon, to a message, if you make it about me. If you make it my message. Then you can decide if you want to do it or not. But if every time you hear from God's Word, you understand that you are hearing God's message, now you're not trying to decide if you're going to listen to my message or not. You ought to be thinking like this. Am I going to listen and do what God is telling me to do, because it's His message? Everything changes whenever we do that. This isn't a debate between you and me. Like what's happening right now isn't a debate between you and me, not at all. As a matter of fact, this is a whole lot less about you and me, you versus me, than we even realize. Even that I think I realize. And I'm preaching it. This is between you and God. And what you're going to do with God's message to you, that's what it's about. It's always been about that. So if God wants you to be saved, if you know you need to be saved, and God has made it clear that the gospel applies to you, then you need to understand something. That's God's message to you. God is trying to get a hold of your heart, not me. Would I be blessed if you came and got saved? Of course, as most of the people in this room, all of us would be happy that you're saved, actually. But it's not between you and us, or you and me. This is between you and God. What if God wants you to surrender? What if God wants you to surrender your life to Him, to, you know, to be what He wants you to be? We preach to these kids for, you know, 3 days in the mornings, and they were here for all the services, Sunday all day, and Monday morning, Monday night. So they heard all nine of the sermons that Brother Hagin preached. And all the time it could be that God is working in their heart. I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a pastor. I want you to be a pastor's wife. I want you to be a missionary's wife. I want you to serve me as these kids, and they're singing and say, yes, Lord, yes. And God is calling them and asking them, serve me with your life. Wouldn't some of us older, not kids anymore, like to go back and say, I sure wish I would have served God with my whole life and surrendered to Him at that age? And some of us, you know, would love to be able to say, go back and say that in our hearts. And so we beckon, we behoove, we beg the kids, surrender to God. But you know what? It's not between me and these kids. I love my four boys. I want them to love God. I want them to serve God. I want them to be preachers and missionaries and servants of the Lord all their life. But it's not between me and them. I can't call them to the ministry. I can't call any of these kids to serve in any capacity, whether it's in ministry or some other service for God. But God can, and it could be that God is calling them and asking them, won't you surrender to me, God says. It's between you and God. It's not my message. It's His message. He speaks to you. But not just the kids. You and me too. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, and anybody in between. God speaks to you. And He wants you to just simply surrender to Him. I surrender. No more fight here, God. I surrender. He asks that of you. And sometimes we feel, well, you know, the preacher, he kind of has all these demands and all these expectations and all this stuff. Maybe sometimes that's true, but I think we need to understand this. It's not really between you and me. It's not. This is between you and God. And one day, watch, one day, you're going to breathe your last breath. By the way, God gave you every breath that you ever breathed, and one day you'll breathe your last one. And do you know who you'll stand before? Not me. You'll stand before God, who graciously right now is trying to get a hold of your heart while you have time. The judgment isn't yet, but it will be. Can I say, kids, adults, all of us, those of us who've experienced it can say amen? There's nothing like surrender. There is nothing like it. Yeah. So we played this game as a family the other night. It was just the boys and me. And I was thinking about the boys, we were playing this game. We were having a great time. We were laughing a lot. And it was a lot of fun. And I was thinking, you know, God gives me one opportunity to raise these guys. And then whenever they're age of adulthood, then my time's up. You know, there's a lot of goals that I have as a parent. This is what I would love to see in my children by the time they graduate or move out of the house. This is what I would love to see in them. And so I have this, you know, these goals. And so we're playing this game, and the game is called Don't Go to Jail. Kind of appropriate to the thoughts I'm having. That is definitely a goal that I have for my boys. Don't go to jail. So we're playing this game. We're having fun. And I realize, you know, that my kids hang around other kids, and there are certain skills that they learn from these other kids. And I found out that one of my kids has developed the skill of armpit noises. And he's very good at it. He learned it from another pastor's kid, by the way. And so we're laughing about him. We're having a good time with that little display. Because none of us could do it except for him. So obviously he was very proud of that. And we all tried, by the way. So get that mental picture. Did you know that, believe it or not, by the time all my guys leave the house, the armpit skills isn't one of the things that's a vision or goal of mine to make sure that it's instilled in them. I'm so proud. Gave him that knowledge of being able to make noises with his armpits. Job well done, you know, mission accomplished. No, it's not a goal of mine. I want them to love the Lord. I want them to turn their hearts to Him. But they need instructions. They need to be guided and pointed in that direction. Listen, in this world, you're going to learn a lot of skills. The things you're going to learn out there are not going to get you one step closer to God. And one day, when you breathe your last breath, you're not going to be standing before the people we tried to impress out there with all the skills we learned from this world. Oh, when we stand before God, well, you know, you didn't grow spiritually and you didn't really put any emphasis on the things of God, but you sure are good at you name it. You sure are good at this athletic thing, or you sure are good at this job situation, or you sure are good in this relational, you know, thing that you invested a lot of your life into, and because you did good at that, that's not going to get you any blessing in the eyes of the Lord. And the world has a lot of stuff it wants to pass on to you. But our attention needs to be directed at, what does God want? What is His message to me? I want to read a couple more verses to you. Look what it says in verse number 49. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Listen, these Israelites, they did not want to believe what Jesus was saying. Oh, you're just Jesus. You're just a man, and you just have your own little message and your own little words. And here's what Jesus is saying. My message isn't my message. And when you reject my message, you're not rejecting my message, because it's not my message. Look at verse 50. And I know what that His commandment is, life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. His message was life everlasting. His message was from the Father. And that's God's message to you. Brother Chad, you ever, how many times have you heard, don't say it out loud, but 2 Timothy 4:2, when Paul said to Timothy, preach the word. Can you count how many times we heard that in Bible college? At Heartland Baptist Bible College, at least 50 times a year. Preach the word! Amen. It is good, and we need to do that. That's what I'm called to do. Preach the word. But you know what I'm finding out? I'm understanding a little bit more about the context of why Paul said that. Because it's not always easy to preach the word. It's not always easy to be instant in season, out of season, to reprove, to rebuke, to give instruction in righteousness. It's not always easy to be the guy who needs to deliver God's message. But we need it. We need the preaching. We need to be in church. We need to be in the house of God. We need to be where God wants us to be, hearing the message of God, because we need to hear from God. We need to hear the preaching. The preacher needs to preach the word. He needs to be instant. He needs to be authoritative as he delivers God's message. But you need to be here to hear His message. So, I mean, we're all working together on this. But we need to remember, this is God's message. It's His message to you. And so if God wants you to be saved this morning, that's His message to you. If He wants you to surrender this morning, that's His message to you. And my hope is, I'm going to say one more thing and then we're going to have invitation. My hope is that at least this morning, because of this sermon, that you'll look past me. Would you decide to do that this morning? That you would look past me and understand that this message is from the Father. It's not about me. It's not between you and me. It's between you and Him. And respond to Him. Respond to Him. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. Nobody's looking. It could be this morning that this morning that God is working in your heart. And you perhaps have made this a little bit more about you and me, or you and another person, than you and God. And you say, preacher, this morning, I know, first of all, I know that I need to be saved. I know that. And I also know that God is speaking to me about it. Would you pray for me? Pastor, I know I need to be saved, and I know God's speaking to me about it. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? You know you need to be saved, and you know God's speaking to you about it. Anybody? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? I know I need to be saved, and I know God's speaking to me about it. Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? I'm just going to pray for you. I won't embarrass you. Thank you. Anyone else? Hands all around. Thank you for your honesty. Well, I want to say something to you before we pray here in just a few minutes. This is between you and God. And so for you to turn your heart to God, it's going to take courage on your side to respond to Him. And I want to challenge you to do that this morning, to make your way to this altar and get it settled. I want to challenge you to. You say, Preacher, God spoke to me, and I have been treating church a little bit more like a debate than knowing God is speaking to my heart. And I haven't been as responsive as I should be. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Anyone else? Yep. Yep. All around. Well, now's your opportunity to respond. Let me encourage you to do so as well. Father, we pray for the invitation. You'd bless the lost in the sense that you'd give them courage to take that step of faith. Lord, I pray for those that have struggled in listening to the message, not realizing or making the connection to the fact that it's your message to them. I pray you'd give courage in that sense too, Lord. Help our hearts to be in tune with you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. If God's worked in your heart, now's your chance to do business with Him. The invitation is open. The altars are open. If you need to get saved, you can come. We'll be here to tell you how you can get it settled. If you just need to surrender your heart to Him, it's not a debate anymore. It's you and God. Now's your chance.